You're listening to Cinema Central, and I'm your host, DJ Ace, and on this episode, I figured it was high time I talked about Bohemian Rhapsody, the biopic about Queen and their iconic frontman, Freddie Mercury, which came out in theaters this past weekend on November 2nd. As usual, I will be going full spoilers in this review, but again, I must point out that is it really a spoiler if it's historical content? I don't know, but that's a debate for another time. For now, here's my review of Bohemian Rhapsody. I feel like I have to say that in a British accent, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody. Anyway, moving on. First off, here are my initial reactions to the film. Bohemian Rhapsody is a modestly budgeted biopic about one of the world's most iconic rock bands. The casting in this film is outstandingly well done, and the actors themselves portray their real-life counterparts really well. But you can't talk about the cast without talking about Rami Malek, who plays the very eccentric Freddie Mercury who easily carries this movie because he does such a fantastic job. And above all else, there's some great music in this film, rounded out by one iconic performance. So to get into the review, the movie was originally directed by Bryan Singer, but then finished by Dexter Fletcher. Bryan Singer was fired for not coming back to the set after Thanksgiving, but I don't think that has a huge impact on the film. The movie still flows together well enough. One of my absolute favorite things about this film were the set pieces, namely the venues. It is also worth mentioning the costumes because they too were exceptional. And you can't discuss this movie without talking about the finale, where Queen performs at Live Aid. It was easily my favorite part of the film. In fact, if you go back to my fall preview episode, I say something along the lines of the one thing I really wanted to see in this film at the end was the reenactment of the Live Aid concert. And while it wasn't the complete set, it was still exactly what I wanted to see, which is awesome. There were also two very interesting tidbits in the Live Aid sequence that I enjoyed. First off, if you didn't know, Brian May and Roger Taylor, the actual band members of Queen, were something along the lines of executive producers on this film, and they are sitting in the rafters in the final sequence, which is kind of cool. It's kind of blink and you miss it, but they were there. Also, there's a point where in the master control booth for the venue, the band manager bumps up the volume dial. And I've read that at the Live Aid concert that Queen was played louder than any of the other bands on purpose. So just putting that little fun tidbit in there was really enjoyable. Back to the band itself, I think they do a great job of showing that each member has very different personalities, and sometimes they do clash, but they all still get along because they all love what they do. There is a funny moment when Roger is having a tangent and threatens to throw the coffee pot at someone, and then they're all like, "No, Roger, not the coffee pot." And I just appreciated that because I love coffee. And one thing they hint at in the film that I just think really adds to why Queen was so extraordinary was that these guys were all incredibly smart individuals. They all had degrees in some form of or another. Brian was an engineer, Roger was a dentist, John was another type of engineer, and Freddie had some sort of art degree. And Brian built his first guitar when he was 12, for crying out loud. So I think that just really explains why their music, in essence, is pretty smart. Now, in a movie about Freddie, it wouldn't do to not discuss his relationships. Now, I realize that a lot of things get dramatized in biopics, so I can't say how accurate all of this is, but at the beginning of this film, we meet his first love in Mary Austin, and they get on well. I think she is an important character because she is one of the few true friends that Freddie has even after they break up. And they have this very tender moment in the film when Freddie confesses his homosexuality to her. And after that moment, the first guy we see Freddie with for most of the film is named Paul, and he's portrayed as kind of a slime ball in the film. Now, whether or not that is true, I think is important to note. No matter your sexual orientation, there can still be unhealthy relationships, and it's important to recognize that. So it's great when Freddie figures it out for himself, and he gives a beautiful metaphor about fruit flies before cutting ties with Paul, which then puts him in a position of finding a meaningful and positive relationship with Jim at the end of the film. The end of the film kind of throws a lot at us, but the main bit, of course, is that Freddy gets diagnosed with AIDS, and then in the credits, they tell us he dies at the age of 45 in 1991. As far as I know, this movie has been in development oblivion for goodness knows how long, but I'm super pumped that it finally got released because though it may be divisive among critics, one thing is for sure, the fans do like this film. So here are the main critiques I do have about this movie. Like I said, I enjoyed it. However, there are just a couple little things that are worth pointing out. First off, the over-dramatization of events I feel like was a little prevalent in the film, but I suppose it would not have been as entertaining if they didn't raise the stakes a bit. The final scene at the Live Aid concert, while it was the climax and quite epic, the digital effects were a little wonky because they CG'd the entire stadium and the crowd into the scene. I'm going to guess this might have had something to do with the fact the movie sat in development oblivion for quite a long time, and it was only a mid-budget film. So there's only so much you can do, but still, I would have liked to see some real people, not blobs, that made me think of World War Z. My final critique is the abundant timeline and story inaccuracies. I'm going to go ahead and list a few, and yes, I did do a bit of research about all this, but it's a historical film, so can you blame me? When forming the band, they didn't all just happen to meet up randomly like they do in the film. When Brian and Roger were playing in the band Smile, they had already met Freddie in college and they are already friends when the lead singer quit. Freddie never threatened to kill the band manager, John Reed, when Freddie fired him in the movie. In fact, the whole affair was mutual and happened a lot earlier. However, Jim Beach did still take over afterward. Though Freddie did, in fact, break up with Paul, it was for entirely different reasons, having nothing to do with him not telling Freddie about Live Aid. Concerning Freddie's first love, Mary, he was actually introduced to her by fellow bandmate Brian, as opposed to her just seeing him perform in that venue that first time. When Queen splits up later in the film is probably the biggest fallacy in the movie. While Queen did take a break after a poor album release in 1982, not only did Freddie pursue his solo projects, but so did Brian and Roger. They also came back together way before the Live Aid concert. They are doing a new album tour sometime in 84. Live Aid was in 95. So Queen did not have just a week to prep before the biggest show of their career after not playing for years, unlike what the movie shows us. Also, Freddie was diagnosed with AIDS in 1987, 2 years after Live Aid. However, it is worth noting that Freddie did have some sort of throat condition leading up to that show, which they kind of hint at him, his vocal cords not working like the day before or whatever, but they didn't really dwell on it. The other thing they kind of just chucked in at the end of the film was the band deciding to share the royalties. They didn't actually decide to do that until 89. There were also just discrepancies as to when these iconic songs were actually written and performed versus how it's portrayed in the film. Also, they moved around when Freddie cut his hair, oddly enough. To be quite honest, though, I guess I am just being nitpicky because, let's be honest, every historical film ever has consistently changed facts for the benefit of drama and plot. But the more you know, right? The bottom line here is that even though the movie is divisive among critics for whatever reason, the people do seem to like it, and this movie outperformed its own expectations when it released this past weekend, which I think is all that matters because Queen was a people's band. And when the studio said they couldn't air a 6-minute long song, well, they didn't listen and did it anyway. And that song, the title of this movie, has made innumerable records and left an impression on billions of people. That wraps up this review. I hope you enjoyed it. And if for some reason you have yet to see Bohemian Rhapsody, then by all means, do yourself a favor. Also, be sure and follow the podcast on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Ace Cinema Central. Rock on.
Booyah!